You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yo, 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 what is up? It's your boy Sterls. It's your boy Sterls in here, and the Buffalo Bills are the AFC East champions 4 years in a row. The Buffalo Bills took it to the Miami Dolphins 21-14, and them Bills are the number two seed in the playoffs. How you like that? At 6-6, we're talking about this team not making the playoffs. We're talking about Sean McDermott being fired. We're talking about Josh Allen needing to step it up. We talked about Stephon Diggs. Is he wanting out of Buffalo? And guess what happened tonight? Your Buffalo Bills over the last 5 weeks have been one of the best teams in the NFL, and they have secured the number two seed along with the AFC East. Miami Dolphins have been talking a lot of smack all season. And even some of us Bills fans thought, you know what? We'll let you have the division. But guess what? Tennessee came knocking on the door. Baltimore came knocking on the door. And them boys couldn't keep it up. They couldn't keep it up. And so the Buffalo Bills, from the shadows, have taken the AFC East. The Buffalo Bills are on their way to the Super Bowl starting next week. Yes, sir. We are starting for the Super Bowl. I'm calling right now. Bills going to the Super Bowl, baby, all the way. You know, I don't know if y'all know that meme where they talk, where they say, yeah, they had us in the first half. Oh, if I had a cigar right now, I'd smoke it. It feels so good right now, man. It feels, oh, man. I just got to laugh. I have to laugh at the Miami Dolphins. I got to, because it's hilarious. It's so funny. Marcel Wooder, what's up, man? He said, go Bills. Yes, sir. Randolph Moore, my guy. Let's go number two seed. Richard Russ, beast of the East, baby. John Taylor, unbelievable with Deontay Godley. Oh, man. Jenny Tay, hey. Let's go Buffalo. AFC East champs. Yes, sir. We're going to be the representative for the AFC in the Super Bowl. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. And guess what? I got my dog in here. Going to bring him in. Yeah, oh, bro, yeah. Poe. How you doing, bro?
You know who they had in the first? They had everybody else, but they didn't have me and you. They didn't have us, though. They didn't. We were 6-6, and we were chilling. We would like, we'd change some things up, win the games at the end of them, but it's all good. It's all good. We're here now.
Were you sipping your tea? Because I was sipping my tea.
Oh, absolutely.
I was sipping tea.
I told you I got the script. That's what I've been saying.
J-Po got the strip. Listen, I'm a little parched. I'm going to give me a little drink right now. Shoot.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
It just feels good.
Absolutely.
It just feels good. You know, I ain't going to lie. I was worried. I'm not worried about the game, but just worried. Like, I just need them to get in there and get this done so we can get up out of there, get this number two seed, and we're going to get them Steelers in Buffalo next week. That's what I'm on right now. That's what I'm on.
Because that game, like after the preseason game, they were talking a lot of shit, those Steelers fans. So
yeah,
I'm excited for that one.
They, you know what? Now you're coming to Buffalo, which it doesn't matter for Steelers because they play in the cold weather too. But you're coming to Buffalo with that offense that they put out there. No TJ Watt, bruh. Come on, man. I'm telling you right now, the Bills winning that game. The Bills are going to be representing AFC in the Super Bowl. I'm telling y'all right now.
So ironic. So ironic. I posted this on Twitter. I've seen a post of Isaiah McKenzie's punt return against the Dolphins in the preseason game, like mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years ago. And somebody said, Deontay Hardy hasn't shown any type of flashes like this. So that was a miss for Bean getting Hardy over McKenzie, and then Hardy comes into this game right away and just to the crib, 96 yards. That's
yeah, crazy. Yeah. Hey, we got a fan, one of dogs from John Davila from Ecuador. Rocking with us tonight, bro. That's cold there.
That's dope.
That's real cold. Thank you for listening to the show. And wherever you guys are, if you're in a bar, if you are at home with your family and loved ones, if you're in the car, wherever you are, this is the Buffalo Rumblings vidcast feed, Buffalo Rumblings postgame show, Intentional Groundings. And, man, we are excited to have you guys here with us tonight. Well, we're going to talk about this Buffalo Bills team and this victory against the Miami Dolphins. And you know what we do on the show to kick it off? We kind of go to the box score to tell the story, okay? Now, before we tell the story of what happened tonight, you know, we got to talk about the state of the team heading to the game. Now, there was a lot to be said about the offensive output for the game. Could the Bills get the pass game going? How much would James Cook be involved in this game? And then you got to look at from the defensive side of the ball. Could, you know, one of the questions was, can they generate pressure on Tua? You didn't see sack numbers, but you did see pressure in terms of getting him off his spot, which was important. And then, you know, we had questions about Sean McDermott situationally. Was he going to pull the right levers to put the Bills in the best position? And I think he did that tonight, folks. So you're talking about a high-flying offense, Tyreek Hill, and you put a bottle on him, and you put the lid on it, and you threw that shit in the ocean, okay? Because them boys, it's over. It's over now. Like, we ain't got to hear about the Dolphins. We're not going to see them again. It's over. We don't have to look at Christian Wilkins grabbing people's nuts.
Oh, we might see him again. We might see him again.
It don't matter. Bills by a billion.
Absolutely.
Bills by a billion. Hey,
up in Orchard.
Up in Orchard Park.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, I'm a fan of the Ravens in terms of, like, I'm proud of what they've done this year, but it's going to be really hard for the number one seed to represent the AFC in the playoffs. It just is. I mean, statistically, when you look at that, how many times does the number one seed get to the Super Bowl? I'm just saying, the Ravens could look. They could, you know, they've been hot for a long time, and if you're a Ravens fan, that's got to scare you a little bit. The Bills match up well with them, but we got a ways to go before we get to that matchup. Yeah. Let's talk about what happened tonight, Poe. You watch film like I do.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the offense real quick. What do you think about the offense before we jump into the box score?
I actually have less problems with the offense this game than people. Like, yeah, 21 points is not that much. But I mean, if we kick the field goal instead of turning the ball over in the red zone three times, that game's not even close. So, like, mm-hmm. As much as we can sit here and dog the offense for really just Josh's turnovers, they did well. They moved the ball well. Josh threw for a lot of yards and did, other than the turnovers, he did exactly what I thought he was going to do this game.
Yeah. Yeah, from a yards perspective, he was phenomenal. Peter Miraglia says, Allen is their daddy.
Another thing, this guy with the this injuries may be a problem. I really truly believe that all three of the injuries that we had that ended up sitting would have played had this been a true playoff game. I really feel they were being precautionary with Rasul, T-Dot, and that's my honest opinion. I'm not a doctor or anything, but the way that they were on the sideline, it looked like they could have played. They were just being precautious.
Yeah, Rasul was still in uniform, okay, on the sideline. So I think it was probably – I mean, I don't know this, but it felt like it's one of those situations where if Dane Jackson got injured, they probably would have rolled Rasul back out there, or Cam Lewis. Now, yeah. I think Rasul's going to be okay. Deion Dawkins had a laceration on his hand, stitches. He's going to be fine.
Came back.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned Tyrell Dotson in this game, who's been playing lights out. I don't know what his diagnosis was. He seemed to walk back to the locker room. I don't know what his injury was.
It's a shoulder thing, and those you don't want to have it be more injured than what it already is, which is why I think he probably could have played. He probably came back out. Him and Gabe probably both came back out after halftime in their sweatsuits, so you just didn't see him. But I'm almost positive that had this been a true playoff game, they would have played. I think that decision was not made by any coaching staff, any player. I think it was made by the doctors. They said, yo, or by anybody that's not emotional at the time, because we are going to play a playoff game for sure. So we need them next week. So I'm pretty sure that was precautious.
Yeah. And we're going to have to see probably on Tuesday when we get the injury report, what it looks like for these guys. But yeah, I mean, there's a level of precaution there. But at the same time, you know, those injuries came at a time where the Bills didn't look like they had the game under control. So it weighs heavy, but you know, again, we'll wait and see what the injury report says. But back to the offense, we've talked about the offense being close, from a pass game perspective, and tonight, you know, we saw some things rear its ugly head. Now, we have to talk about Josh Allen's decision making in the red zone, which was poor tonight. I'm okay with it in terms of get it out of your system, but how many times do we have to say with Josh Allen, he's got to get out of the system? I just think those were bad execution plays in the red zone. You talk about the throw to end the half. I mean, that throw has to be thrown in the end zone. Sean McDermott said it perfectly before going to the halftime. And, you know, I get Josh Allen wanting to press, and because he really hasn't had great games throwing the ball lately. But the passing game kind of after those mishaps, they kind of got it together. Let's talk about Stephon Diggs and what he was able to do.
Yeah, I liked what Steph did. And again, I've spoke about this over the last few weeks. I really don't think Diggs is struggling as much as we are putting that in there and asking why he's not getting involved. I truly believe that Diggs' struggles have been on the 4 or 5 missed 70 plus yard touchdown passes he could have had by Josh over and under throwing him. And those would have added up to 250 plus yards. Like, I don't think he's struggling as much. I just think that the deep balls that we're used to them hitting are not hitting right now, which is tough. And you hope at some point they get that. They hit one, a fade ball towards the end of the third, I want to say. One of the little fade balls, nice catch by Diggs. And they got him going a little bit underneath, which is what you'd like to see. Josh just can't make the decisions that he's been making in the red zone. You got to take field goals there. Two bad ones. The fumble is what it is. The two bad ones are, you got to have 6 points there, and that game is not even close at the end if we have those 6 points. So
yeah, no, this game honestly was played well by the Buffalo Bills, despite the mishaps in the red zone. I mean, the Bills really should have blown them out, probably to the tune of 38-14. You talk about the two interceptions. I mean, you take those off the board. Now, I understand you can't take them off the board, but you put up, you know, two field goals there. You know, it's just a different game. Let's talk about the stat sheet, though. Josh was 30 of 38, 359 yards, 9.4 yards per, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked 3 times with a 101 rating. The passing game that you all were looking for from Josh Allen, well, it was there tonight. They found Stephon Diggs early and often. Khalil Shakir had a great game. Dalton Kincaid stepped up. I mean, you know, Trent Sherfield, I mean, I've talked about not even dressing him. He had a couple big catches tonight. And Deonte Hardy, I mean, this is the stuff that championship teams are made of. Yeah. When the chips are down, you have these unsung heroes make key plays in big time moments. And you know what? If you take all the ugly stuff off the board, you look at it and you go, okay, you got guys that are contributing. It's like Steve Kerr hitting a three for the Chicago Bulls back in the day. It's like Robert Horry hitting a clutch three-pointer. These are guys, you know, you look at the stat sheet, you go, okay, yeah, like they're there, but they don't really contribute to anything. And all of a sudden, boom, it's the stuff that championship teams are made of. And you can say the Buffalo Bills are a champion because they are champions of the AFC East. So some things they got to clean up there. Any more thoughts on the offense there from Josh Allen and others?
I seen this, and like, I don't know how you figure when we were in the red zone twice in two possessions when he was in the game and Josh threw turnovers. So I like the idea that the offense got better at some point. They were just good. They finally got into the end zone after the punt return. That was the only difference in the previous drives and the turnover drives, is they finally got into the end zone on an offensive drive that they should have been doing all along. It had, like, had we scored on those two touchdowns that Josh threw a pick, that we're looking at it's not even a competition at the end of this game. So like the idea that the offense wasn't, they were moving the ball the entire game. They were moving the ball very well the entire game. They did whatever they wanted until they got inside the 20 yard line.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about impact of Davis being out of the game on the edges in the run game, I mean, we saw the Bills try to run those crack tosses and stuff like that to the outside, and it's just not the same when Gabe's not out there. I don't think he had an opportunity to make an impact in the pass game tonight. Now we'll see what that injury looks like. It is a knee. I think they're gonna ice it up. He's gonna be fine. But. You know, no, I'm not bagging on Gabe tonight. You know, Gabe had a really good block. I mean, let's talk about that 46-yard reception by Khalil Shakir on the sideline that put the Bills in a good position there. That wouldn't have happened if Gabe Davis didn't make a key block. I mean, he blocked the shit out of that guy and sealed him, and Khalil Shakir was running down the sideline for 46 yards. You know, those are the kind of things, the glue guys, the plays where guys make, you know, that you go, you don't see it on the stat sheet, but man, when you look at the film, you see guys making big plays. So shout out to Gabe Davis on that. Again, I'm not here to shit on Gabe Davis. That's not what we're doing tonight. Buffalo Bills rushing the ball. So the Bills total with 36 carries, 128 yards, 3.6 yards per carry. I felt like, you know, the running game, it was okay at times. You know, we saw playoff Josh Allen tonight. And what I mean by that is when the chips are down in the playoffs, you know, they run the ball with Josh Allen a lot. And he had 15 carries, 67 yards, which is really good, 4.5 yards per carry. James Cook, 13 carries, 36 yards, 2.8 yards per carry. And we got to see Leonard Fournette get those Latavius Murray snaps, which I was really impressed with. 7 carries, 20 yards. I just love the change of pace there. Ty and Johnson went out with the ball snaps.
They take care of the ball snaps at the end of the game. That's when Leonard goes in. So I didn't mind it. I've seen some people whining about it. Why is Cook not in the game? And it's because you go with Leonard, he doesn't fumble. That's not a thing that he does. It's not what he's known for. He doesn't really fumble. So you're protecting the ball, and then if you need a big play, they go to Josh.
Yeah, I'm okay with Latavius Murray being inactive for the rest of the season. Whatever's left. I think, you know, Touchdown Lenny deserves those carries. He looked good. He hit the hole like he needed to. There were no frills on that. That man ran with vengeance, and I appreciate that. I'd like to see him get more snaps, just, to, you know, in pass pro and stuff like that. I think he needs to be out on the field more. And he's also a threat in the backfield. Now, James Cook, 13 carries, 36 yards. You know, his impact was felt early in the game. I felt like, you know, towards the end of the game, second half, he really didn't make too much of an impact. But, man, you got to – when you talk about James Cook, you look at him and, you know, like you're proud of the season that he's had. But, man, if you want to be considered a great back, a good back, you have to make those catches when the team needs you most. And again, today he had a touchdown catch in the end zone and he dropped it. Thoughts on James Cook?
Same. I just like, we're not even in that situation where Ty has to go in and we're pressing to get that touchdown. And we should have taken the field goal anyways and thrown it out of the end zone if nothing was there. But at the end of it, like James dropped a touchdown pass right before that. So like, it's tough. I like what James Cook brings. I think he's very important to this team. He's good. We're going to need him going forward. For sure. It's tough when he's dropping those balls, cause that's why he's here. He's dynamic out of the backfield. He's a Christian McCaffrey, a 2 year in version of like, you can put him out receiver. You can, but like, if we're going to put you at receiver, you got to catch those balls specifically.
Right. You got to catch those balls. Pause. You know, hey, so we haven't even got to the Bills receiving numbers yet, but the turning point of this game was the punt return touchdown by Dionte Hardy. He's another guy that I would have told you if he was inactive this game, I'd have been like, cool. Like, he don't do nothing anyway. But one thing that he can do is return kicks. And tonight, that's probably the most important possession in the Buffalo Bills season this year, was him setting the tone or taking the momentum back. A 95-yard punt return touchdown untouched walks into the end zone, man. I don't know how you were feeling during the game at that point in time, but talk about your feelings with Dionte Hardy with that punt return touchdown.
Yeah, that was important for the offense, and it's about time special teams makes a play that turns any type of tide for us instead of against us. But it happened, and that helped the offense kind of see the ball go in the end zone. It's like shooting a three and seeing the ball go in. It just kind of might light a fire. I do think that the way the defense played for the majority of this game kind of just like, yeah, we're going to keep us in it. Dolphins, if you're going to score, you're going to score on some long ass drives. And, and for the most part, we're going to play a possession game. And then it got to the point where Hardy got in. It was a very important defensive session the next play or the next series. And they came out and stopped him again. That return into the defensive series the next was the biggest portion of that game, in my opinion.
Yeah, it totally was. It really swung the game open for the Buffalo Bills. I feel like once that happened, you could feel the momentum just completely shift. You could feel the getting the monkey off your back, if you will, and the Bills just kind of settled in. And this is and I'm going to go back to this. This is that championship caliber DNA that you need in these moments. Every game isn't going to be pretty. Right. If you ask me, if I had to give a grade on the Bills' performance today, I would say this is a B-minus game for them. They had so many opportunities to put this game away, and they let the Dolphins hang in there by ill-advised mistakes by Josh Allen.
And that B-minus is probably carried by the defensive performance and the special teams performance. Like, it was a rough day for the offense inside the red zone. You're probably like an F-minus red zone offense.
And you look at this red zone offense, they've been second in the league for a majority of the season. So, you know, it's one of those things. This is not something that you normally see from the Buffalo Bills offense and Josh Allen. It's just one of those days, right? And I'm not going to point the finger at Gabe Davis because I wasn't in the huddle. I don't know what was supposed to happen, right? You could place blame on Josh Allen for throwing that ball to begin with. I mean, I feel like he had time where if Gabe felt like he was going to do the inside release, he could have waited just a hair longer and thrown that ball to Gabe Davis, or you just throw it away. And I don't know if that was the right route by Gabe Davis to begin with. So I don't know. So I'm not going to criticize him. But what I can say is you have to, as a quarterback, you got to make better decisions in that position.
I'll say on that play specifically, like, Josh was looking right the entire time. I'm not in the huddle. I don't know if it was an option route or not. If that is an option route, either that ball needed to be thrown to the outside or to the inside. You can't throw it at his break spot. Even if that is an option route, the option is never to just sit in that spot. It's going to be to break to the right or break to the left. And so that's why, in my opinion, that can't have been like a fault of Gabe's. That ball either should have been thrown to the sideline or thrown inside. Either way, you probably score. That ball's incomplete. You kick a field goal. So
I know you're going to say that is not Gabe's fault because that's your guy. I just don't know. I don't know who's at fault.
I hate when you guys say that. Well, on the replay that Chris Collinsworth showed, Josh is looking to the right the entire time, turns and throws the ball directly to the corner. And so, like, regardless of whose fault it was on the out or in, it should have never been thrown directly at the break spot. And that's where, like, I'm like, Josh can't do that. You can't just throw this shit up to Gabe when shit gets tough. And they do, or when stuff gets tough. And he does that a lot. And that's why it's like, it's a struggle. When things get rough inside the pocket, he'll just throw it up to Gabe sometimes. And that's where we get the interceptions.
Yeah, no. Again, Josh Allen shouldn't have thrown the football there. You know, when you talk about the Josh and the relationship with the receivers, they got to clean it up. It's time to clean that mess up. Like, I need them to be in lockstep. Now, for the most part, they play really well today. Hey, we got Jason in here from Jason Stroud from Colorado Springs. Hey, man, we're kinfolk here. Can we talk how huge Baylen Specter and Rat played? And from most hated to most loved, Deonte Hardy. Yeah, dude. Baylen Specter came and played. He played a good game in spite of, you know, our guy Tyrell Dotson going out.
After that series, he played pretty well. He played pretty well. That first series struggled, and it looked a little – he looked a little confused, a little off, kind of got the cobweb shaking out of him. But he came back in the next couple series, and he got a couple TFLs. He had some nice plugs. Like, he played well.
He did. You know, Baylen Specter has always been a see ball, get ball kind of guy. And I think when he settled in and he was able, you know, when you got Terrell Bernard managing the middle of that defense, it really lends for guys like Baylen Specter, Tyrell Dotson to just go and attack, fill the, you know, correct run gaps and stuff. And he did that well tonight. So, you know who wasn't out there was Dorian Williams. He's, you know, he's been one of my guys I've been pounding the table for. But again, the Bills felt like he's not ready for that stage. And I can't be mad at it because Baylen Specter came in and played pretty well. So Deonte Hardy, as we talked about, didn't have an impact on the receiving end. But what he did do, man, he really
the entire season game
open. Right. He really hey. That man broke this game open, and so, you know, we'll take it. Receiving the ball here, Khalil Shakir, 6 receptions, 105 yards. Now, he did have that long of 46 yards. You were propelled by Gabe Davis on 6 targets. Khalil Shakir has consistently been one of the highest receiving percentages in the league. I think he's probably still top 10 in the league in receiving percentage. Stephon Diggs gets back up with this. He's got 7 receptions for 87 yards. Stephon Diggs played a great game. And I tell you what, this should be 7 receptions for 160 yards and 1 touchdown because he was killing Jalen Ramsey once again. So for everybody who says Stephon Diggs has lost a step, he's this, he's that, let me tell you, Stephon Diggs put a route running clinic on Jalen freaking Ramsey. And I'm going to give you some credit here, Poe, because you called it. You said it. So go ahead and talk your ish, man.
No, Jalen's never covered Diggs well. Jalen's the kind of guy that kind of plays out of phase and he reacts on receivers. And the problem is when you react on Diggs, he's just not where you think he's going to be on his routes. And
right.
So I do think and Diggs, people talk about him struggling, and I just don't see that. I see some missed balls by Josh, which is unfortunate. It's about 4 or 5 that could have been 70 yep. plus yards, like I said. And like, and he's looking at an extra 300 plus yards, including this game today. And so I think Diggs is going to be there. We're going to start hitting that. Josh is going to start hitting that at some point throughout this playoff run. And that'll open up so much more than what we're seeing right now. Like right now, they're probably playing a little bit more aggressive because Josh is not hitting the deep ball as much. So I can't wait until we start hitting that ball to Diggs. Diggs has been, the fact that Diggs has been wide open about 5 games for 70 plus yard catches should tell you that he hasn't lost a step.
Yep. He's torching these guys consistently. And when you play as physical as Jalen Ramsey and you don't stay in phase, Stephon Diggs is one of the best receivers in the league when it comes to release packages and stacking DBs. And so you do that, and you're going to open yourself up for a world of hurt. So great game by Stephon Diggs. Dalton Kincaid with a really couple great catches, one namely on the sideline when he had Melvin Ingram of all players in coverage. Dalton Kincaid really played well tonight. And Trent Sherfield, he had the touchdown catch, which great awareness, you know, toe tap. I mean, secured the ball. Trent Sherfield looked, he really helped himself tonight. Dawson Knox, 2 catches, 22 yards. I felt like he was held on a PI in the first quarter there. The refs didn't call it. I felt like the officiating was pretty bad tonight overall. Horrible. It was horrible. It was very horrible. But outside of that, I mean, you know, nothing noteworthy to note. But from the receiving core was 30 receptions, 359 yards.
Because I was a guy that said I was good with Sherfield taking a C2, and we just see what Shorter has. Like, I mean, might as well just see what Justin Shorter has. We haven't seen nothing for Sherfield all season. But like that IQ of him to see where that ball was going and to plant his toes into the ground and lunge, like you don't see a lot of receivers like overdo themselves to go there. He didn't overdo it. He just planted his toes in the ground and fell and then tried to catch it. That was very smart of him, and it was a big play in this game.
Yeah, it was a great play in this game, and it got the Bills on the board here. As we move over to the defensive side of the ball, there was nothing that stood out from an individual performance per se. I felt like these guys did their 111th, and they hung in there as a unit. There were different guys that made really good plays. You know, Jordan Poirier had a really good stop on a tight end. I think that was on the third down. Terrell Bernard, again, nine tackles, 3 solo. He was all over the place today. Taron Johnson, man, was a dog today, as usual. You know, Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver were quiet in this game on the stat sheet, but their presence was felt up front. I really do feel like the Dolphins did a really good job up front today. I thought coming into this game that the Bills would dominate the Miami Dolphins offensive line, but you know, shout out to Mike McDaniel here, because he called a really good game offensively, just with the misdirection, getting the Bills kind of off balance there in the first half, and it opened some things up over the middle of the field and some RPO action stuff. So Tua Tagovailoa tonight was 17 to 27, only 173 yards. I mean, that's going to tell you something right there, that this Buffalo Bills defense came to play. 1 touchdown, 2 picks, man. You know, these guys really played their ass off tonight. Devon Achane, I felt like he was going to be the guy if you know, without Jalen Waddle. I felt like I felt that they needed to use Devon Achane more in this game. He had 10 carries for 56 yards, but you know, he really didn't do anything in the pass game, which was kind of odd to me. What are your thoughts on Achane?
I'm not really sure. I can't really say how they use him offensively, because usually when Mostert's there, that's when they would use him in the pass game more. So when he has such a big, like they used him specifically as a running back in this game, and when he's doing that, I'm sure it's hard as a young guy to take on both roles. So he had Mostert's role and his own role, and then they had Jeff Wilson in there a little bit trying to get some snaps. But I don't know. I thought Achane on the drives that they scored was big for them. I just never thought that I don't think that he was going to be able to do that all game. Like the way Miami runs their offense just takes away interior D linemen. Like, you can't make a choice. Like, you can't play fast because you have to wait on all their misdirections and see what's going on and try to understand what's going on in the backfield. And the problem with that, with Tua, is now you can't read the defense and where they're setting up and what's open because you're too busy doing all this stuff in the background. So you end up throwing it to a spot. Our defensive backfield is not going to let you throw it to a spot all game. That's just not what we do. We're not going to let you throw that big deep ball that you wanted to on third down. I think I said that earlier, earlier in the week. Like that, you on 3rd and 6, they love to hit the deep ball. Got picked first series of the game. Like, you're not going to be able to hit that on us. Like, we play disciplined defense, and it showed today for sure.
Yeah, Christian Benford again has been amazing. I'm telling you, man, that kid. Dude, he's stacking great performances together. And I'm not just talking about the interception, man, but he made some really good plays in coverage. You know, Dane Jackson, oh, buddy. You see why the Bills went and got Rasul Douglas, because Dane Jackson, he doesn't play in phase well. You know, he's out of position with, you know, he had a few penalties on him. I get that this is his, he hasn't played much ball lately, but he's a veteran cornerback, and you expect better results from him in that position. So you hope to God that Rasul Douglas can get back in the game, because the good news is you don't really have to worry about too much next week with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to town. Right. But, you know, so if Rasul needs to take another week, get a week to get it together, fine. But man, Dane Jackson out there, boy, he really leaves a lot to be desired.
I will say with Dane, that's a very hard wide receiver core to come in and like, or even offense in general to come in and play against. I thought he did what I expected him to do in that game. He's a good backup. Like that's the reason they went and got a corner, is because they had a good backup and he was starting for us. And so I don't really mind too much how Dane played it. He's not a backup. He's a backup. He's a good depth special teams cornerback.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you want him to come in and fare better. But again, you know, we were talking about Terrell Bernard and who played really well, but Christian Benford, I mean, he's been lights out. You know, I feel like, and back to the, I want to make this point about the offense real quick and tell me what you think about this. Oh, by the way, Falcons fire Arthur Smith. That just came down the pipe. Josh Allen, man, he's got to, when Fangio says, you know what, we're going to send the house repetitively, Josh Allen, again, he has to make better decisions under pressure. You have to find your hot and get rid of the ball. And I felt like he did a poor job of that in the first half. The second half, he said, okay, Dalton, you're going to be my hot route guy. And when you see this coverage, I want you to, you know, in breaking route, because I got to get rid of the ball quick. And I think Dalton Kincaid really helped him out there.
Well, Fangio, if I'm not mistaken, he runs that shell defense like we do generally. And so I'm sure the first half of this game, Josh was not expecting them to come out, play hard man, and bring a lot of pressure like they did. And it was a great adaptation at halftime to come out with Kincaid and kind of play that Cole Beasley role that Josh used to be one of the better blitzed quarterbacks in the NFL. Because he had Cole there, who was kind of a hot route guy, and now Kincaid is kind of taken into that role, and Shakir a little bit.
Yep.
And when they realize it, they just got to realize it a little bit faster, that, yo, they're blitzing you a lot. Like, let's get these balls quickly out of your hands. So I do think he adapted well in the second half. I just think that the struggles in the third kind of overwhelmed it as far as a view.
Yeah, as a veteran quarterback, you want to see him fare better in those situations in the first half. It shouldn't take a half for you to kind of get that together. However, you mentioned Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid. That's what it takes moving forward. I think it's great to have that on tape now, because, you know, it's gonna, you know, teams are gonna have to say, okay, like, if we come at him like that, he's gonna be getting rid of the ball quick. So yeah, I think you're right. Like, I felt like Josh wasn't ready for that, kind of caught him off guard. And, you know, the good thing about all that is, as a coaching staff, they made the necessary adjustments to get this game back in order. So, yeah. Shout out to Sean McDermott, who called another great defensive game. Now, nobody should be coming in here talking crap about Sean McDermott. Not only did he call a great defensive game, situational football he was good at, because he said, you know what, I'm not gonna be conservative, we're gonna put it down we're gonna put it down your throat here, but you know, you get my drift here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Sean McDermott real quick.
I think everything else people were complaining about the timeouts, like in the first half he used two of them to get the ball back with as much time as they did, and they had one left, and then they called it to make sure that they got the first down so we don't give Miami the ball back on third and four. So I don't have a problem with the way he used timeouts. I could have been mistaken, because I heard the announcer say it would have been a 55-yard field goal. I would like to see Bass kick that and make that. And man, I know everybody was calling for the quarterback sneak, and don't get me wrong, if we're 3 yards further back, I'm good with the quarterback sneak. But I think Bass could make a 55, especially in Miami. And so I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I haven't seen him miss a deep field goal. Most of his misses are like 35 on a windy day. And like, I would like to see them trust Bass to make a field goal that depth.
They're going to have to in the playoffs. Now, yeah. We did see him screw it up in, you know, against the Eagles where he missed a 49-yard field goal or something like that. But, the good news there is Bass has been able to hit those in the past. Now, this consistency with him has not been there this season. It leaves some cause for concern. So I was happy that they decided to roll the dice and just go for it. I like that. You know, I think, you know, shout out to the Bills analytics team, right, for getting those situations up there. And McDermott pulling the right levers. Again, McDermott, he won a coaching challenge tonight as well on that Tyreek Hill incompletion. So the coaching staff did a really good job to put these guys in position tonight. And I think, you know, if you're a Bills fan, regardless of where you stand on the spectrum of Sean McDermott, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt because they really did a good job tonight. Joe Holler, thank you for watching the show, man. He says, how concerned do we need to be about the Steelers? I'll let you take that one first, and then I'll kind of wrap it up there with the Steelers.
It's the playoffs. You have to be concerned about everybody. You go into every game as if you're playing the best team in the NFL. I do think that the Steelers are as one-dimensional of a football team on offense as it gets in the playoffs right now. And so you're just not going to be able to do that, in my opinion, against this defense. Fully healthy, I'll say. And so I don't see them scoring many points at all. And their defense is good. So it's going to be on Josh to kind of take care of the ball. We're going to have to get the ball out, run the ball well. Their defensive end. Now, TJ Watt is missing, and that is a big loss. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to play. They said it was like a grade 3 in MCL sprain. And that's a huge loss for them because now Josh is a little bit more comfortable back there. I don't see – as far as worrying about anybody, you always go there and play your best ball in the playoffs. But I'm not mad about this matchup.
Yeah, no, man. This is a game where I feel like the Bills should come in and really win this game. And I'll tell you a reason why I feel like the Bills have a slight edge in this game. Well, you know, you do mention that they are a one-dimensional team. They're not going to be able to run the ball as much as they want to, because I feel like the Bills are going to get up on them and turn on offense quickly. You have Deontay Johnson and George Pickens who've been playing well as of late, but you know, they're not necessarily burners on the outside, and that fits really well with what the Bills do defensively. You know, they're going to keep those guys in front, and I think because you have two physical corners and Rasul Douglas and Benford, that, you know, they're gonna make Rudolph or whoever the quarterback is throw in the tight windows. And I think the Bills are gonna get a couple turnovers off that. So it's not a great matchup for the Steelers here, to be honest. The fact that you are going to Buffalo, the Bills play pretty good at home as well. I do expect the Bills to be able to run the ball now that TJ Watt's not there. Now Cam Hayward is a great defensive tackle, and they still got a few guys over there. So, you know, but I think the Bills are going to be too much on offense for the Steelers to catch up. So if you get up, you know, 7-0, 10-0, now the Steelers are going to have to play catch up. And we're talking about an offense that's not explosive to try to keep up with the Bills. So the Bills know that coming in this game, they're going to have to come out and they're going to have to start fast. Any disagreements there?
None. If you get Mason Rudolph into a situation where he has to throw the ball 25, 30 times a game, you're not losing that game. So,
I think it's good.
Yeah. So I think they hit three balls, and three of their six touchdown catches are 3 5-yard slants that Deontay Hardy and George Pickens have thrown for 70. Like, it was a 70-yard catch for touchdown on 3 slants. And so that's not happening.
Yeah, no, I think it's not. Yeah, I agree with you there. But outside of that, I wanted to talk about Osiris Torrance before we get up out of here. Some will say it's a rookie wall, but when you look at Osiris Torrance from a pre-draft perspective, you know, I think your inefficiencies get highlighted toward the end of the season and going into the playoffs. And he's been worked again. You know, again, Christian Wilkins is a really good defensive tackle. But, man, he's getting beat the same way each and every week. You know, if he faces guys that are you know, quick-footed, Osiris Torrance has a hard time responding. I feel like hand placement is something that he can fix. Foot speed, I don't think he can fix that. So, you know, you're seeing a liability here. I mean, he allowed some pressures to Christian Wilkins tonight. And I felt like the pressure that caused Josh Allen to fumble. Now Josh Allen has to hold on to the football, but it was that pressure where Christian Wilkins just straight worked him front. He faked an outside move and went inside, and Osiris Torrance had no answer for that. So if you're the Bills, there's some concern there. He is a rookie, and I feel like, you know, he can improve and get better. But if he wants to be a starting right guard for this football team moving forward, he is going to have to do some real work this offseason. Now, he's had some good moments, but lately he has not looked the part. Thoughts on him?
This is his first NFL season, and most of the time his season would have been over already at 10 games. So, like, I do think that he's had a little bit of a transitional period of playing those extra six that they play in the NFL, and that's tough for rookies. There's some rookies that can play through it. There's some rookies that struggle when it gets late in the season. But it's good. This is good practice for him. This is good developmental position for him. I think in the playoffs, right, you get a little extra juice because it's the playoffs. As a rookie, that idea that it's the playoffs will just give you a little bit more juice. He struggled a little bit, but I don't mind the struggles that he's had. He's been fairly solid for the most part.
Yeah, no, I'm concerned. I think, you know, long term, I think it's something that you got to take a look at. You know, if you want to bring in some competition for him next offseason, I'd be okay with that. You know, there's a few guys that are available in the draft that you can get in the third, fourth round that I think would be solid additions. Zach Zinter, All-American guard from Michigan, he has a broken leg, so he's going to fall. You know, you might want to take a look at him in the third round if he's available. And there's some other guys that I can point out too, but we'll get into draft talk later. But let's talk about the wild card round this weekend that's coming up and the times for those games, and then we'll get up out of here. So we have the Browns and the Texans. The Texans won the AFC South. And they're going to face Joe Flacco and these Browns on Saturday at 2:30 my time. That might be Eastern, I'm not sure. But I like that game for the Browns. CJ Stroud's going to give them something to think about, which it's going to be. That's going to be a really good game. It's going to be a really good game. It is a weird matchup,
matchup.
You look at the Browns defense is really good. And then you look at, you know, the upstart Texans is like, yo, they could catch fire and beat anybody on any given Sunday. Right. So I think that's going to be one I'm going to be looking at. And then you got the Dolphins and the Chiefs. So the Dolphins are going to have to go to Arrowhead. They didn't mention on the broadcast tonight that it's going to be like 10 degrees in Kansas City this weekend. That's going to be the Saturday night game. So the Dolphins, you got the Bills now. You know, they did play the Chiefs early in the season. The Chiefs got the best of them. We're going to see what the Dolphins look like. Andrew Van Ginkle, not going to be available, I don't think, for that upcoming game. You know, the Dolphins take another major blow to their defense. And, you know, that might be the recipe that the Chiefs need to get a dub here. Now, again, like it's just frustrating that the Chiefs get to host a home game. But what are your thoughts on that game?
I mean, anything could really happen in that game. In that specific game, anything could happen. Mm-hmm. I don't think either one can, like, either one could come out and put up 30 if they wanted to. But I just, the receivers, I'm always going to trust Patrick Mahomes. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. So I would think I would take Patrick Mahomes over to in that matchup.
And then you got on Sunday, you got the Packers and the Cowboys. Jordan Love having a great season, takes on Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. That's going to be a really good game there. Dallas has a really good defense. So do the Packers. The Packers have these young wide receivers and Jordan Love. And, you know, they've looked pretty good the past few weeks. I mean, Jordan Love's been playing as good or or better than any quarterback in the league the past 5-6 weeks. And so that's going to be a fun game. And then on the Sunday slate, you have the Bills and the Steelers at 1 p.m. there, which is going to be nice. I love that the Bills-Steelers is early. You know, we can kind of take care of these Steelers, get it out of the way. And then you have the NFL wild card, Rams and Lions. That's going to be an interesting game because, you know, Sam LaPorta is going to be out for the foreseeable future. I think he had an MCL sprain. And then the Rams, I mean, look, you know, you're talking about Matthew Stafford against Jared Goff, who they they made a trade for each other there. I think that's going to be a really, really good game. So I'm excited about that. Your thoughts on any one of those games?
I think the Dallas game is going to be a smoke show. I think this is a perfect Dallas. Like, if I was to see a script, Dallas come out, smoke the Packers at home because it's at home. Mm-hmm. Then they have to go out to the road at some point and get smacked. And it's just like, it's one of those games to give the Cowboys fans a little bit of juice and to talk crap, to get interested, right, and then to just mm-hmm. rip the rug out from under them. So I can see that being a smoke show. And then I do like the Detroit Lions game. That the Rams have hit fire at the right time, and the Lions are a team that could come out, and for the most part they've been consistent, but they can kind of come out and put a dud on you. So it'll be interesting to watch that game.
Yeah, and then, you know, to finish it off, the Monday night game, the NFL does the Monday night football wild card round. The top off wild card weekend, you have the Eagles and the Buccaneers. And if you are an Eagles fan, damn, you have to be just beside yourself. You don't have any confidence, because that team is a shell of itself. You know, you hear Nick Sirianni kind of rah-rah, and it's not working. You know, Jalen Hurts dislocated or broke a finger today. I don't know what his availability is going to be. And you lose to the effing Giants, bro. Just like, brah.
Just to say that, but they're where, like, as a fan base, they're where we were when we were 6-6. The difference in the two teams is, what kind of leaders do you have on your team that can you pull yourself out from this tunnel that you've dug for yourself? Or are you going to, I mean, can you do something about it? Can you step up and have, you have vet guys on that team that'll let you run through the roller coaster of the season, right, and turn it around? Or are you just going to lay down and die, which is what they've been doing? They lost to the Cardinals. They lost to the Cardinals last week, and they lost to the Giants this week, two of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, you know, that's the slate for the wild card weekend, man. Again, the Buffalo Bills are AFC East champions. Let that sink in for a minute. Again, we talked about early in the show, the Bills are 6-6, and not many thought that the Bills would take the AFC East crown 4 years in a row. Jay Poe had the script. He told us what was going to happen. You know, we were confident that the Bills could get this thing going, and boy, did they do it. And not only did they do it, but, you know, from the side of the ball that no one really had hope for, which was the defensive side of the ball, they kind of got it together, and they're shutting people out. Now, I'm not talking about the zero burgers, but boy, you look at the Dolphins. Dolphins only scored 14 points. Tua didn't have 200 yards passing. Again, the Bills did a really great job on Tyreek Hill, 7 catches, 84 yards. I mean, listen, give your flowers to Sean McDermott, because he, you know, that article is probably one of the best things that happened to them this season, because he's really, since that time, he's really put in the gear. So shout out to the Buffalo Bills. Shout out to the AFC East champions, baby. Dude, this has been a wild ride, man. I know you're going to be at the game this weekend in the box, in the press, and, you know, all the love to Jordan and what the Bills have been able to do in the secondary, because these boys are going to unleash the beast on the Steelers on Sunday, man. And it's going to be pretty epic to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited.
So with that being said, let's wrap up this show. You are listening to the Intentional Grounding Podcast right here on the Buffalo Rumblings vidcast feed. I am your host, Sterls for the Girls, and my dog over there, all bro, Poe. That's my dog right there. And you know what? We've been telling y'all for weeks what these Bills are going to do, and they've done it. They have done it to the tune of AFC East champions 4 years in a freaking row. So for all of you football fans out there, wish me good luck tomorrow night. My Wolverines are going to take on the Washington Huskies for the national championship game. And so I could literally have one of the best football weekends of my entire life. My Bills won the AFC East, and they're the number 2 seed. And my Wolverines are in a pretty good position to win a national title. So we'll, you know, wish me good luck tonight, man. I'm going to go celebrate this dub and the dub that we're going to get tomorrow. You are listening to the Buffalo Rumblings vidcast feed, and we're out of here. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.